This is the Ned and Josh podcast.
Injured in the workplace? Call John Little at Malaganas Edwards Johnson.
Hit 104.7.
All right. Let's have a bit of a chat. Can you stop looking at your computer? Look over here. This is important friendship
chat,
please.
Alex just got to work, and I saw him.
He's in the car park. That's fantastic. Good to see Al. But that's look over here, because we're going to have a friendship chat.
What do you want?
And have a bit of a discussion. So drop the attitude, drop the hostility, because this is just a good faith discussion that I think needs to be had.
Well, you know why I don't believe you is because you haven't told me what it's about. And if it was a good faith discussion, I'd at least know what I'm going to be told about.
I just don't want you. I want you to be thinking on your feet when I ask you this question. I don't want you to have too much time to think about the answer.
Okay,
here we go. We've had a couple of movie dates over the last 2 weeks.
Correct.
We've just gone out for dinner and watched a movie. I'm very excited to see the cinemas back in full swing. We went and saw Godzilla vs. Kong, which I can only recommend as exactly what you think that movie will be.
It's
great time, great fun time.
Bit of fun.
But also saw the movie Nobody last night with Bob Odenkirk. Far higher quality of a film.
Yeah, it was a bit of fun.
But it's not as much giant lizards fighting giant gorillas. So
Old men fighting other old men.
Yeah, you got to take what you can get. But
exactly.
Look, we've gone to the movies and enjoyed it both times. I have paid for the movies both times.
Yes.
I've purchased online tickets both times.
Yes.
To the movies.
Yes.
You and I hang out pretty much every Friday night.
Yes.
I buy pizza every Friday night.
Yes.
And have not asked for any money.
Yes.
I lived with you for a considerable period of time. We lived together.
Yes.
During that time, my financial situation in terms of managing my money can only be described as erratic.
Mm-hmm.
And I borrowed an extreme amount of money off you over that time. We've never actually put a number on it, but I can only assume the reason you've never offered to send me any money for the pizzas, the reason you don't feel any kind of a need to send me the money for the movies that we've gone to, is because in your mind I haven't hit this number of money that I owe you in our friendship to pay you back. And really, the only question I have here is, are we getting close to it? Because I'm starting to notice the things I'm paying for that you're not giving me any money for. So I just, this is the question. I get that everything works out in the wash in friendships, but are we anywhere near the number? Are you keeping track of what I've paid for?
I stopped keeping track.
In any kind of a way?
I stopped keeping track on the 25th of the 4th in 2017.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to show you, I'll show you a few because there's two different pages. This is the second one. And have a look at some of the numbers that are on this and you tell me if you think that we're close. See that?
No, I can't. My eyes are too I can't.
That was about 4 years ago. And that's when I stopped keeping track because it made me too sad.
Okay.
I will also say the pizza thing, I think it's offset because I never ask for pizza. I just sometimes have
the pizza just appears.
The pizza appears. I never get asked. It just turns up and then I have some because I don't think you can eat a full pizza.
There are some numbers on this I would dispute.
The computer one?
No, not to the computer one because that's definitely become my computer when it was meant for it to be a joint purchase.
Yes.
The Bond one, I feel like I would argue that I did pay my part for Bond because I think I borrowed that money off my parents. So you would have got your money there.
No, I didn't get any of the money back because I think you kept the Bond money.
Oh, that's what you're saying.
Yeah,
right,
And I also...
All right, okay, interesting. Interesting numbers there. I would say, what are you thinking?
And I would also say about the movie thing, and look, this I don't want to get into the weeds of all of this, but the movie thing where up until yesterday, we were net even because we went and saw that, whatever that Tom Hanks movie was, I paid for that.
Okay.
I didn't ask for a cent. All right. Now, I understand there's a lot of money that have changed hands across our friendship, and it's far more weighed in my way than it is yours.
Now,
are we coming close? Honestly, I hope so. But as I will say, that list stopped 4 years ago, and the spending didn't stop 4 years ago. I just stopped keeping track of it. I'm not an accountant.
I don't know if you noticed, you go back and listen to the tape. Not at one point did I say you owe me money.
No.
I said, are we getting close to a point where maybe you might owe me money?
The fact you brought it up, you owe me money.
No.
And I've had enough. I don't know at what point is enough is enough. Look, I'm sorry. Because I do sometimes feel bad about the pizza thing, but at the same time, I always do open up that little note that I have in my phone.
Okay,
and I go,
I don't feel bad anymore.
And I go, did you just delete the note? No way. Did you just delete the note of all the money you owe me? You piece. That's gone now.
The Notes app has an undo button. No, it doesn't.
I've been robbed here, ladies and gentlemen. You just witnessed a robbing live on air. I've been robbed.
And I will commit to you now. Yeah. Free pizza for as long as you want.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
We're talking mystery as we get into the mystery mention for another week.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very simple. One of us leaves the studio. The other person will give you a mystery word. Mm-hmm. From there, you need to tell a little crafty story and potentially hide that word from the person. As they enter the room after having left, they'll hear your story. And if they can pick the word out, you don't win. If they can't, you do win. And yeah. Tickets to the GWS taking on the Bulldogs. We've got Daniel online from Dunlop. How are you, mate?
Yeah, great. Thanks. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad.
Pretty
thank
well, Daniel.
You. All right, Daniel, here we go. You've just got to pick one of us to leave the room. Who's it going to be?
Ned.
Ned's going to be off. All right, then.
You don't want to think about it, Daniel?
He's good. Ned just didn't want to get out of his chair. Such laziness on display, Daniel. Very ridiculous. All right, he's here we go. All righty. Daniel, very simply this morning, your word is going to be the word apple. All right, here we go. Come back into the room, please, Ned. Yeah, we're good. Daniel has his word.
I block my ears because I feel like the airlock's not that soundproof. All
right. He's got his word. Daniel, are you ready to take a little story away, mate?
I am.
All right, here we go.
Go for it, Daniel.
Take it away.
Tell me about it.
So yesterday I was making a fruit salad for my son, and the ingredients I was adding was kiwi fruit, banana, orange, strawberry, and grapes.
I would say story done. Very well done. Very well done there.
I am going to, instead of trying to figure out, because that's Daniel's obviously going for the obvious list technique
very,
where you
very
just
smart.
List a bunch of things. I'm going to try, and instead of trying to figure out what inflections he had on different words, I'm going to try and read you, Josh, what fruit would you suggest, or what would you say? Because I think it's one of the fruits that mentioned.
I'm not going to help you in any way, shape, or form.
No, I'm trying to read you. I'm trying to think of who you are as a person, of like what word. I think I reckon you would have said banana. I reckon
banana.
That's the one.
All right, then. Well,
Daniel, what's the word?
Apple.
Damn it! Apple is the word, which means, Daniel, you've won!
Very good.
You got yourself some tickets to the footy.
I didn't even hear him
You're up to the footy this weekend,
Daniel. I didn't even hear him say Apple.
GWS taking on the Bulldogs, mate. Congratulations.
Well done, Daniel.
Thanks very much.
No problems at all. There we go.
Really? You're sticking by this, eh?
I need a sound showdown. Effect for the footy.
Ned and Josh. Ned and Josh. On Hit 104.7. You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Ned, apparently way back in 2014, MacArthur Grange Brewery were very, very close to looking at building in Goulburn the world's largest beer bottle.
The world's largest beer bottle. Okay, yeah. That's kind of cool.
They were taking a look at potentially building a 30 meter beer bottle.
That's a good. Well, so I'm glad that it's in Australia. I feel like we enjoy beer, so that's kind of. I like it that it could potentially be somewhere here.
Well, the current world record holder is 25 meters tall.
So we're not even beating it by that much.
Yeah, if you're going to Denmark.
That doesn't really like when you ask me about beer. I would say like here. Maybe Germany, maybe Ireland. That's more Guinness, but Denmark doesn't pop into mind straight away.
It's
and
funny,
also, kind of lame that we weren't going to do it like by a lot. We were just going to go 5 meters taller.
5 meters tall. I mean, it's still a huge beer bottle. That's a huge beer bottle.
Yeah, and I guess I'm also 2 meters tall or
do
less.
Do you know
what
I'd say though? And this is probably, I think this is true because I'm sure Denmark have wonderful beers. I would say everybody does what you just did.
What?
So when you go, I wouldn't really think of when I think beer, I'd probably think. Insert your own country here.
Yeah.
Germany, Ireland.
Yeah.
Because I'd imagine if you're in America, you'd go, us, obviously us.
No, but
I mean,
like
most American beers I've had, not a fan. So I don't think of them straight away, but I do think of Germany. I think of Japan because of Asahi. I think of Ireland.
Well, no, I'm not saying where beer comes from, but I'm also saying that when they had to make 20, they had to fill 20 minutes of stuff that they knew about Australia, the Simpsons went straight for beer
point. Yeah, that's a fair point. And they went for the wrong beer, beer we don't even drink.
I actually like that, though. I like that they think that we drink Foster's because then that means we'll never run out of a good beer.
I'm very interested in this. It didn't happen. There was planning stages, all that stuff. That's not what I want to talk about because the beer bottle thing, it's been proposed.
Yeah.
Hasn't happened.
Mm-hmm.
Should we potentially have had a look at where, though? Because they were talking about doing it in Goulburn. Goulburn already have, they have the big merino.
Yeah, they're fine.
How selfish do you want to be? It's probably what I'm saying.
Honestly,
I know we reach into Goulburn, and I'm very happy to have people listening from Goulburn, but don't be greedy. Don't be greedy.
The ball's on you to even suggest it. Rival that of the Marinos.
Very, very good. I'm aware, if you're listening from Goulburn, your argument may be we have literally a plethora of national landmarks
here.
Yes,
we understand.
That's fair enough. Yeah. I mean, you guys have had to build a giant ram in order to get people to stop and have a look. Fair enough. I get what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have a big thing.
We don't.
Not that I can think of.
Yeah.
Not straight off the top of my head.
No.
Owl is obviously big, but it's not called the Big Owl. It's called the Bill Connan Owl.
And you're not supposed to stop and like buy little knick-knack versions of it and like take a photo with it.
It's what about just a happy medium and we plonk it straight down in like Eagle Hawk? It's not fully in Canberra.
Oh, yeah.
But it's
that little pub.
Bit.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Yeah, actually, leave it out near the pub.
Out near the pub.
Yeah, I mean, the pub's already
you're
got enough business.
To the beer bottle thing?
Yeah.
I was going to say, we could make like one of the little bus stops, the Canberra bus stops.
Make it enormous.
A really big version of
that. The amount that people already, wow, and I don't want to, I'm not unjust. Justly, but the amount that people already complain about the bus stops, I don't want to confuse them by making an enormous one.
That's true. Here's the beer bottle, and I don't see any need to placate Goulburn, so no to the Eagle Hawk thing. Let's just whack it straight in the middle of Civic.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
Ned, scientists are burying 2,000 pairs of underpants in Switzerland in the name of testing out soil quality in different areas.
Okay.
So the reason for this is, I didn't understand any of it, so I read the whole article just because it just sounds insane.
Yeah.
Basically what's happening is they're burying like organic cotton underwear.
Right.
And so everything apart from the waistband and the seams is 100% biodegradable, which means that it will be a food source for microorganisms in the soil.
Cool.
So what they're able to do then is like bury them in different people's backyards. They're looking for volunteers.
Yeah.
And then dig them up in like a month and see how many holes.
Yeah.
The more holes, the healthier your soil
exactly
is.
Exactly right. Right. Okay.
It's just got to be an easier way to check this,
that
doesn't
does
it?
That does seem very convoluted.
It needs to be an easier way to check this.
Yeah. Well, is it marketing for this? Is there an underwear company behind this? Or is it they literally just trying to...
It's scientists.
Scientists just want to bury undies.
Proof by underpants is the concept. Proof by underpants. It's a citizen science project to study soil life and soil quality.
Yeah, do they want the citizens to do it? Is there going to be scientists that come around and do it for?
I just hope they'd hand out clean undies.
Yeah.
Like, it wouldn't just be, if you've got this brand of undies, you can bury them, because that's...
But it seems counterproductive.
Clean them first.
Yeah, right.
And then maybe the laundry detergent's going to interrupt whether the microbes want to eat it. It's just all of it's gross.
It just seems bizarre. And it also, what are we trying to do? What's the hypothesis of all this whole thing?
To plant an underpant tree? What are we doing?
If you plumb out of, what do they call it? I don't know, turf or whatever.
Yeah.
If you've run out of mulch. No, if you've run out of mulch.
Compost.
Yeah, compost and stuff. Just chuck your undies in the soil and you'll be ready to go. Why do we need to do this?
So gross.
I'm all for biodegradable stuff. I think it's really, really cool. But
it's the way to go.
It's the same time. Why undies?
Mm.
Is that really a problem that we're facing? An abundance of undies that have been thrown around?
It's to measure the soil. It's to measure. It's got nothing to do
with the undies.
That's what I'm saying. You put the dipstick thing in a pool? Isn't there a soil version of that? Why do we need
there
to bury our underwear?
I've watched enough Better Homes and Gardens, and I've not seen anyone on that show ever think, you know what, I'll boy. They go oh, look, you can see worms and stuff in it. That seems like a fine way to.
She wouldn't want the scientists saying that, would you?
Yeah, I was going to say. That's one thing.
So bad for the scientists at the end of this, but they've sort of. They've done this to themselves. This is their idea.
They're setting themselves up for these kind of jokes.
Particularly healthy soil here in this particular pair. Oh, no, wait, that's not soil. Oh, God.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Ned.
Yes?
You were supposed to go skydiving over the weekend.
I was. Weather prohibited it.
Yes.
Also, my nerves didn't help.
Yeah, and I think it was a funny combination of the two things from the story you told me, if you don't mind me paraphrasing.
Go for it.
There were weather delays, And then you took that as a sign to not do it because you're already very nervous about it.
The weather's delays were like, delay. It'll happen at some point today. And I was like, you know what? I don't want to sit around stressing out of my mind all day. So I was like, you know what? I'm just out then.
Yeah, I'm just out.
I'm actually good. And then it ended up being fine. So I was actually kind of annoyed because it was kind of one of those things that I really wanted to do, but it was more like a Band-Aid thing where I was like, if I just get it done, I know I'll love it. But the leading up to it, I was like,
ugh. It's like bungee jumping. I feel like the longer someone stands on the edge of the ledge, the less likely they are to actually do it.
Exactly right.
Anyway, what's happened over in Turkey is there is a musician who was very, very nervous about going for a little bit of an adventure of his own, except it wasn't quite skydiving. Very similar in terms of height, but he was paragliding.
Oh, okay. All right.
So it was a tandem paragliding session. Now, his friend's like a expert paraglider, got his license, the whole lot, and has sort of said to him, you know what, if you're nervous about it, why don't you do something to distract yourself on your first shot? Like, we'll get up there and maybe bring something with you to distract yourself.
Yeah.
Like a Rubik's Cube or I don't even know, your phone. I don't know what he's talking about. And he's gone, well, I'm a musician. I'm a violinist. I'll bring my violin.
That's dumb.
And it sounded like this. This is literally a video of a guy sitting in a tandem paraglide with a violin. And my question to you is because you were nervous about skydiving.
Yes.
If the guy you were doing the tandem jump with had bought a violin and was playing you soothing music as you were going, do you reckon you'd be calmer about it?
No, I'd be way more anxious.
Yeah, I would have thought.
I'd be like, hey, pay attention. The only thing I need you to care about is to pulling this cord. Essentially, you have the job that I'm a small animal could do, but I just still don't trust that you're going to do it well. So please make sure you focus on that.
I find this so hilarious because this, if I'm the paragliding guy who's told my friend to bring something to distract himself and he rocks up with literally like a violin with a bow. I'm just looking at the things that he could accidentally let go of.
Yep.
And it could, because you know, violins like sometimes have that little pointy bit at the end. Well, the bow is essentially just a big stick.
The things you have to turn to tune it.
Yeah, they're very metal. Sharp. Yeah, they're metal. Yep. So the whole thing could just go through the canopy of the whole thing. How confident do you have to be that this nervous friend is not going to let go of the violin? Like, it's a lot of trust.
Here are your two options. You are either nervous about paragliding and you do it nervous, or you don't do it if you need to play a violin. Yeah. That's it. They're your two options.
Either perfectly
you
calm.
You do it nervous or you don't do it. That's it. Sorry.
Well, the interesting outcome to this whole scenario is the guy who teaches violin professionally, plays the violin, loved the paragliding so much, and he's no longer scared of it, and he is now signing up to get his own paragliding license.
Right. Okay. Thank
which
goodness.
He will have to do violin free. Yeah.
104.7's Ned and Josh. This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
If I had to give you a list of weird things that I spend money on, right?
Yep.
And you know me very well. You're my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is at the top of the list for you in terms of things that I spend money on that you think is strange?
I thought you wanted a list. And I can give you the list of everything I think.
Just the top thing. Okay. What do you think it is?
Lights.
Alrighty. So let's have a bit of a chat.
Explain what kind of lights, though, because you'll explain it better than I can.
I'm just into lights. Like, some people are into, like, you know.
Like stage lights.
Like lighting design.
Lighting design. Not just, like, lamps and stuff. Yeah. Like, actual proper ones that you would see at, like, a concert, maybe, or a festival.
I've got
that
quite...
I see, and I'm like, oh, they're kind of cool.
Yeah, but then I also get right into it. Like, I'm really interested in it. So it's become like they're also insanely expensive. So it's not really a realistic hobby, but I've bought like some cheap ones and have like little controllers and stuff. But that has been honestly paling in comparison recently to my obsession with Kmart. Well, it's not just Kmart, they're everywhere now, but the Mirabella Genio range of smart lights that you can buy.
The Wi-Fi lights or whatever.
Just smart electronics in general. So there's strip lights. There's also light bulbs that you trade out one for one, lights you can put in the roof. There's ones you can put out on your balcony.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of things that you can do with this range of smart. This isn't an ad, by the way, because I've spent so much money.
Yeah, no, Josh has not gotten any of them for free.
No. To the point where that is basically been like my home improvement thing lately. I've been like, well, geez, that room could, that could go well if I put that light there, or I could put that light there, or that lamp, that lamp could have a different bulb in it, or that could, and that's what I've been doing, right?
The thing that I find, that I struggle with a little bit, and when I say struggle, this doesn't affect me financially.
Mm-hmm.
actually, I wasn't going to run. I'm not going to run through it. It doesn't affect me in any kind of way. Your money is your money. Your apartment is your apartment. You can do whatever you want. But I know for a fact that you bought lights. I don't know what were those box ones. I don't know how much they were each. You don't even need to say it. But they were expensive enough. And they sat in your car. They probably, are they still in the back of your car?
No, they're not in the boot of my car anymore.
But they were in the boot of your car for months. And you were like, I need these.
Yeah, no, I thought I did. Anyway, the point here is, back to the Genio Smart Wi-Fi lights.
Yes.
And I've noticed this is a trend that is starting to go pretty crazy. Like, Bunnings have an entire range. They've got some Mirabella ones, but they have also their own range. They've got all the different Philips Hue ones. This is becoming very popular in terms of, like, a consumer segment. But I literally over the weekend had a moment that I wanted to tell you about because I think it'll bring you joy, Ned.
Okay.
And really anybody who's got a significant other or someone in their lives that is spending way too much money on this frivolous purchase item, let me tell you, I hit max capacity for the amount of things my modem can handle being registered to it.
Okay, wow.
So I have 38 different Mirabella Genio devices and my modem like now won't accept new things.
Good.
So, like, if you were to come over and ask for my Wi-Fi password, I'd have to turn a light off to be able to give you my Wi-Fi.
You don't even... that actually is insane to me. How do you have this many lights?
I didn't think it was possible because all the modem things are saying, like, you know, 250 devices is what the typical modem can handle. But I'm telling you, I went to add a new strip light the other day and I had to... I only because my iPhone wouldn't connect anymore did I start to put the dots together that... So I went and turned off a light.
Yep.
And the second I turned off the light, I was able to add the other light.
Yeah. You know how this.
And that's how it's been working.
You know why this really pisses me off, actually?
Yeah.
Because I came around, 3 weeks ago or whatever to watch the Snyder Cut of Justice League, and you're like, can't figure out why my PlayStation's not working. I've got an idea. You got 70 lights that work on the Wi-Fi. I came around and we waited for so long to watch that. Now I understand. I'm never coming to your house ever again. I'm done. I hope your lights are worth it, mate. Lost a friend.
Watching Netflix in 240p just so I can have purple lights.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Josh, $200,000 is a lot of money.
No, no doubt.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
I know you said something else.
But there's a lot of things. Obviously, there's a lot of things you can buy with $200,000. Apparently, a lot of people. Well, not apparently. 146 people in Arizona have paid for a very unique service where a lab called Alcor Life Extensions, the Alcor Life Extensions Foundation, frees you at your time of death. Put you in the desert. They've got like a little bunker underground because the desert gets so cold. Cryo-freeze you, and then they'll bring you back to life once we figured out that pesky death thing that we've got going on.
So this is basically what everyone always says the rumor is about Walt Disney, that he's frozen himself. Yes. But this is the thing.
This is real.
Like, this is real. Like, they're really doing this.
I feel like we can say with some certainty Walt Disney didn't do that.
Well, everybody involved in anything do with the Disney Corporation have said he isn't frozen.
Why would he say
That's literally, I think, not up for dispute at this point.
But 146 people actually are cryo-frozen and they're underneath a desert in Arizona waiting for the day where we figure out how to bring them back.
Is this company confident they can do it? No. Or
They said once, by the way, they figured out how to freeze people.
Yeah.
And they've done that. They've nailed that. They've nailed that part.
Yeah.
But they fully have said and didn't try and hide it from anyone who wanted to do it. They were like, we don't know if this will ever work, but... It won't matter to you. You're already dead. So
the great news is, if you've done this, you've signed up. Your first cab off the rank, though, the second they do work
exactly
it out.
Exactly right.
Yeah. The only thing that worries me is that you probably have to sign some kind of a waiver that, like, you're allowed to also be the first lot of people they try it on.
First in, first out.
Yeah. So they'll iron out the kinks with like these 146 people, and then maybe by about like 180, they've worked it out perfectly.
Well, this is
you'd want to let a few people go before you.
Apparently, they've actually done it with rabbit. Like a rabbit was frozen. It was dead. And frozen, and they brought it back to life.
Fascinating.
Exactly right. So, I mean, maybe it's actually not that far away from. I mean, we don't know how the rabbit was afterwards. No one was like, he's still the same because rabbits are just like.
Yeah.
So we're like, we don't know if it's a bit weird or whatever. But I just don't know if paying $200,000 because they froze them as they were dying.
Yeah.
So it's like paying $200,000 to maybe be brought back in like 2572. I mean,
there's worse things to spend a you spend your money on that you don't have anymore.
You and I aren't religious at all.
No.
So there's no way I need to be or want to be buried.
Yeah.
I'd probably just put me in the urn, I reckon,
yeah,
without being super sure. grim. But that's my idea.
I want to be tied to a weather balloon.
So if I didn't have any idea, mm-hmm, and I was also a maniacal billionaire,
yeah, why not?
What's the harm?
Exactly,
like,
right.
What's the
yeah.
harm in just maybe going, yeah, here's 200 grand.
Yeah.
Just keep me in there. We'll see.
Freeze me and see. Bring me back to life whenever you think I'm ready.
We'll be able to work it out at some point.
Yeah.
I'd probably give them more than 200 grand because my only nervousness on my deathbed would be, you guys are going to be able to keep the freezers running, aren't you? Like, do you want a bit more money?
Take as much money as you want. See, the conversation you and I just had, that's why this rumor about Walt Disney's gone on for so long. Yeah. Like, he was rich and kind of weird.
He was pretty rich. He was pretty different from normal people.
Exactly right.
Nah, I just make sure the power kept running. That's all I'd worry
about.
Exactly
right.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Last night I was at the petrol station. I was actually not getting petrol because I'm not a millionaire. But what I was doing was getting a can of Red Bull.
Okay.
So I could go to the gym this morning. Yeah. And what happened was I saw out the corner of my eye a little $10 scratchy. And I thought to myself, when in Rome.
Okay.
I thought, I just was an impulse thing. And I thought, this is a really bad way to be with gambling. I don't think it's the worst way you can be with gambling because obviously people have very serious problems. But the way I am with gambling is when I have, when I notice gambling, I feel like it's the universe trying to tell me something.
Yeah.
And that's a very stupid way to look at something that is just a statistical anomaly. Like, you're very unlikely to win money.
Yeah.
And I, every time I go, oh, scratchies. Why have I noticed the scratchies? Mm-hmm. I should buy a scratchy. That's a really stupid way to do that.
It's up for debate whether or not the world tells you anything, whether anything is ever coincidence.
Yeah.
But especially, I feel like if the world was trying to tell you something, it wouldn't be buy a scratchy.
Buy a scratchy. Yeah. What a profound way to communicate such a dumb message.
Exactly.
We remember probably 2 weeks ago, told a story on the show about a lady in Minnesota who bought a scratchy ticket. Only because there was somebody in front of her in the line that did.
Yeah.
Inspired her.
She
won $100,000.
Yeah.
And the person in front of her, well, we don't know, but probably won nothing.
Yeah. You have to imagine.
Inspired by the person in front of her. Last night, I've turned around after buying the scratchy. The guy behind me has given me like a nod and then has gone, I'll just get the same scratchy. Thanks, mate. Exact same thing happened to me.
You think that this guy, you can't have known if he's won.
I don't know if he's won.
You've got to hold your breath for the next 2 weeks.
I'll tell you what happened to me, though.
Yeah. No win, of course.
Absolutely nothing. But
where
was it? This guy behind me, this was in Gungahlin, this guy behind me has literally just given me the nod, gone exact same one. Like, what a jerk. Like, not even, he said, I'll get the same scratchy, thanks, mate, and then obviously pay for some fuel as well. So he's obviously, once again, already doing financially better than me.
He's already
fuel at the moment. but he's then also cheekily gone for the same scratchy.
Yeah, I think you need to keep your eye on the news now for the next couple of days to see whether or not this guy is actually going to win.
It's been a big scratchy win in Gungahlin. It was one of the ones where you can win 250 grand. Imagine if he wins.
Imagine
if he wins $250,000.
Why do this to yourself?
Well, because I didn't know the guy behind me was going to be a jerk about it.
That's what you should do every time you go and buy a scratch at a service station. You should go, is anyone else in here want one? No? Okay, then I will get one.
Thank you very much. This would be the pokey equivalent of just standing behind someone waiting for them to finish and going, my turn.
and then
winning the jackpot.
That was the Ned and Josh podcast.
John Little, your Canberra Region Workers' Compensation Lawyer. MEJ.com.au.
Hit 104.7.